Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Reporting to David. In our last study in 2 Samuel, we considered the end of the conflict with the death of Absalom. His head stuck in a tree branch, and there, dangling, Joab struck him with 3 darts, and then his 10 armor bearers slew him. Joab sounded the alarm. The battle was over. Many lives were spared. The people fled to their tents. But now word needs to get to David that his son is dead. His orders were to deal gently with the son. But Joab disobeyed and saw to the death of Absalom. Hence, our study tonight, reporting to David. A simple outline, we're going to be covering verses 19 through 33. A simple outline could be verses 19 to 23, we see messengers are sent to David. In verses 24 to 32, the messengers deliver their reports to David. And in verse 33, David responds with great grief. Let us read 2 Samuel 18, 19 and 20. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said unto him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." So here is Ahimaaz, this young boy, the son of Zadok the priest, who has been designated to be a messenger. We see this in 2 Samuel 15, 36. If you remember, David is fleeing from Jerusalem, and there's a series of people that come and interact. And one was the priests, and he sends them back with their sons to serve as couriers so that they could find out what's going on in Jerusalem and report to David. 2 Samuel 15, 36. "Behold," David is speaking, "they have there with them 2 sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear." So here is this young boy, I perceive in his mid-teens, thereabouts, the son of a priest who was designated a few days earlier to be one of the messengers. So here he is talking to Joab about the death of Absalom. The trumpet is sounded. The forces are now retreated. The battle is over. He wants to take a message. But we see in chapter 15, verse 36, Jonathan. Where is he? Well, we can speculate. Could he be with Ittai or Abishai, the other divisions of the army? Was he irresponsible? The bottom line is we don't know, but we know that Ahimaaz has positioned himself ready to take a message to the king. Now, the other thing that also comes to mind as we consider this kid wanting to take a message, what about the Pelethites? We saw that earlier also in chapter 15, the groups of people that were with David. 2 of those groups were the Cherethites and the Pelethites. The Cherethites were the bodyguards. The Pelethites, their name actually means couriers. Possibly by their bloodline, they were natural runners. We don't know exactly, but we know this. Their name means couriers. Where are they? We don't know. But we do know that Ahimaaz is there ready to deliver a message as a designated courier, and Joab says no. Now, this is an important message. This isn't just an invitation to lunch. The war is over. Your son is dead. Verse 20. Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Now let's keep going on in verse 21. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. So here it is, this unusual situation where Ahimaaz, who was designated by David to be a courier. The Pelethites were designed to be couriers. Ahimaaz is ready to go, and he says, no, you will not go. Rather, Cushai is going to go. Little is known about Cushai, other than obviously he is right there under the command of Joab. We do know from the root of his word, Cushai. It is translated two ways in the scripture, either Cushai or Ethiopian. He's not Jewish by nature, apparently, so it seems. But the bottom line again, we know very little of this man who is chosen above Ahimaaz to carry this most important message to the king. When you read an Old Testament story like this and you try to extract truth, one of the first things you need to do is make sure you understand the flow of the story. What is it saying? And let it start to speak for itself. Carefully understanding what has the Holy Spirit moved to be recorded that we do know. Obviously, many things are not here for us to know, but what is included is for us to know. Therefore, if we just truly read and appreciate, we start to see some important things that tell us what God wants us to learn from this seemingly abstract passage. Okay, some guy's going to run and tell the king his son's dead. Next. No, the Holy Spirit recorded this for us. So, Ahimaaz continues to push his request to go. Look at verse 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. We must understand and start to think about this Ahimaaz guy. He is a son, young son of Zadok the priest. I am guessing, estimating approximately 15 years of age. And I believe, honestly, what we see about this guy is youthful enthusiasm without knowledge. There are some messages you're not qualified to deliver. He pushes, but he truly fails to appreciate the gravity of the situation. He only sees victory in his youthful zeal, in his youthful ignorance to truly take in what's happened. He wants to run and give the message. Verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me run now and bear the king tidings how the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. It does not occur to him that David is his father and he is going to be devastated when he hears that his son is dead. Young man, wake up. Joab knew that David would take Absalom's death very hard for several reasons. Number one, Absalom was his son. Number two, Absalom now obviously has no chance for reconciliation with David and Israel. It's not good because Joab blatantly disobeyed the king's order. And David was trying to stop the rebellion by Absalom. Now he's got disobedience and rebellion by Joab. Joab, you disobeyed my order to deal gently. And Joab says, you know what? I don't think you have the presence of mind as a young teenager to go and deliver that message to the king. You don't have proper tidings. Look at the end of verse 22. Seeing that thou hast no tidings ready. And this is what he wanted to deliver. Look at verse 19 towards the end. Let me run and bear the king tidings. That word tidings literally in the Greek means good news. It's not good news. There is no good news in war, especially civil war, especially family war. Let me go deliver the good news. The victory is ours. And David's going to say, no, this is not good. Joab saw it. Ahimaaz does not see it. Verse 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, run after Cushai. Why? You don't have a tiding ready. But he did not see it. And Joab reluctantly grants him permission to run. Verse 23. But howsoever said he, let me run, he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. Look at this young boy in his enthusiasm. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 19, first request. Then said Ahimaaz to the son of Zadok, let me now run. Then in verse 22, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run. And in verse 23, he asks a third time, but howsoever, said he, let me run. He was going to pester Joab till he got permission to do what he wanted to do. But he was not qualified because he thought he was going to go and deliver good news. And boy, the king's going to be glad to see me. And I got to be part of this historic moment. And Joab says, you don't get it, young man. Look at the three answers of Joab. Verse 20. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day. At the end of the verse, because the king's son is dead. Don't you get it? Number two, Joab's answer, look at the end of verse 22. Thou hast no tidings ready. You think you're ready. You think this is a simple task. You don't understand. His third answer in number 23, run. Go ahead. If that's what you want. Did you know one of the worst things God can do to us is let us have our own way? This is what has happened now to Ahimaaz. Rather than being received well by the king with joy, he's going to be told to stand aside. Let's look ahead in verse 30. And the king David said unto him, Ahimaaz, turn aside, stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. I don't think he was expecting that. I think he was expecting an accolade of some sort. Boy, am I glad to see you. Further, looking ahead into what's going to happen, he's going to run, he's going to give this message, and it's wrong, it's incomplete. Cushai gives his message, and he kind of looks silly because Cushai had a more complete, accurate message of what happened. Verse 32, the king said unto Cushai, remember, Ahimaaz is standing there. Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai diplomatically answered and said, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. He tempered his words. Ahimaaz had to watch this and he had to realize maybe Joab was right. Look at the end of verse 22. Seeing thou hast no tidings ready, you were not ready to deliver the message. And there, before the king and his court, you gave a poor, incomplete message. I tried to tell you, you wouldn't listen. He had to learn the hard way. Verse 24, the watchman with David. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man and comes with good tidings. Naturally, David is waiting for good news from the battle. And here he is expressing his optimism when he notes only one messenger. What is your first reaction? What does that mean? Remember, David's a man of war. He's seasoned. He understands exactly what one messenger means. If they lost the battle, he would see his forces flooding in mass backwards in retreat. But if he only sees one, this is good news. They're dominating the enemy. So this he takes with great joy. There's only one. This second messenger is then noted. David still maintains this idea of enthusiasm and optimism. I want you to think about Ahimaaz now. I am the runner. You don't need Cushai. Think about this. He could argue, I am the one designated by David to do this job. And number two, I outran Cushai. Whether he knew a shortcut or whether he just was faster, we don't know. We know this, he got there even though the other man had a head start. But he did not have the wisdom that Cushai had on how to deliver that message. Let us read what he says to deliver the message to the king, verse 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord to the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered and said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Do you not think this was the greatest part of the message? And you're the king's courier and you didn't get the news of Absalom? Stand over here. Do you remember earlier when Hushai was sent back to the city and he penetrated the inner circle of Absalom? He defeated the council of Ahithophel, and the message was given to Ahimaaz, take it to David. Well, the message was taken, but it failed to include the words, by the way, he defeated the council of Ahithophel. Incomplete. Here again, he brings an incomplete message to the king. Hey, listen, if your job is to be a courier, how about if you get some information that's noteworthy? So here I believe this young man has all manner of zeal, athletic capability, but he doesn't have the brain behind it to do the job. I think of another situation. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, we have the story of the civil war early on. And Joab and his men are against Abner and his men. And Asahel, another relative of David, is a young man, and it says he ran like a doe. He was fast. And he was pursuing Abner, a much older man, obviously did not have the athleticism, but he was a seasoned warrior. And Asahel was pursuing him, and Abner called back and said, "Stop." He continued on. Abner turned again. "Stop." And the third time, he took one blow and killed Asahel. Youthful zeal without the brain. We have Abner, a seasoned man of war. No, I don't have the athleticism I used to have, but I know how to do it. And he took out Asahel with one blow. Ahimaaz has the athleticism, but he doesn't have the brain that Cushai had to deliver the message properly to the king. Oh, that young people would listen. Yes, you may have the body that we once had, but we've got a brain. You need to listen. 2 Samuel 2:23, "Howbeit he, Asahel, refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place." And it didn't have to be. You should have stopped. Abner was trying to spare the man's life. So it is, youthful zeal without wisdom. Ahimaaz claimed to see this tumult, a large crowd, but the truth is, he knew what happened. He didn't bear that news. Verse 30. "The king said unto him, Turn aside, stand here. And he turned aside and stood still." And there he stands, and now Cushai comes in with his report. Verse 31. "And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said to Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai said, The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is." It's interesting that Ahimaaz said, well, when Joab was telling us there was this incredible tumult, we didn't know what it was, but Cushai seemed to know what it was. He tells him, Absalom is dead, so therefore the rebellion is dead. It's over. And Ahimaaz had to stand there in the king's court. And it was revealed you delivered an incomplete message. I think he was a little embarrassed at this point. You know what's interesting? Take a look at 1 Kings 4:15. After the death of David, Ahimaaz was in Naphtali, and he took Basma, the daughter of Solomon. He became David's son-in-law. He grew up. Verse 33, David responds with great grief. "And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he said, thus he said, O my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." And here he is wailing, and the people could hear it. David is again feeling the results of his awful sin. It's my fault. It's my fault. I took Bathsheba. I murdered her husband. It is my fault. It is my fault. His son of adultery died. His daughter was raped by her half-brother. Her half-brother was then murdered by her brother. This is the terrible, terrible price that David is paying for his sin. Would God I had died for thee. David knows this whole mess is his fault. You have to wonder if David's thinking at this point, you know what? I should have been happy with one wife. Absalom would have never been born. Such is the results of sin. Ahimaaz has witnessed this. He is now listening to the king wail, and he's remembering the words of Joab. The king's son is dead. Do you get it? He gets it now. How is David to respond? He grieves for this whole mess. And now his grief is all the more intense as Absalom has died. Interesting to note. Let us reflect on this whole mess. Chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, David takes Bathsheba in adultery. She's pregnant. Uriah is killed. Chapter 12, the baby is born, smitten with an illness. And David will not be comforted night and day as he grieves for his sick child of adultery. The child dies. The servants are afraid to tell David of the death of this child. And they're very surprised when he hears the child is dead. He gets up, cleans himself, and moves on. No wailing. Now, Absalom dies, and he doesn't just brush it off. Rather, he grieves and wails all the more. Why? Why this little baby dies that began this whole sinful mess, and he doesn't grieve? Because of this. He knew that little baby was going to go to heaven. 2 Samuel 12:22, and he, David, said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Verse 23, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He knew that little baby was in heaven, but he doesn't know that Absalom ever trusted Messiah to come as his Savior. And I think now the weight is heavy upon him. Not only is this mess here on earth, but it's very believable Absalom is in eternal hell. It's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. And he would not be comforted. Of the three main characters we have here in service to David, the Ethiopian seems to be the most dependable. Ahimaaz, he delivered a poor message. Joab disobeyed David's orders and murdered Absalom. And Cushai, the Ethiopian, faithfully obeyed and did what he was told. And I have to think about Cushai. How many times in this life we don't recognize the people that God uses, but he uses common people every day. Would you just be faithful? Can you see this Ethiopian? How will I ever be important? Because you're going to carry the message. But I can't run as fast as he can. He's younger. That doesn't matter. I need wisdom. I don't need athleticism. Let's be faithful wherever God places us and determined to do right. And we see, of course, the results of sin. Absalom has caused grief to many people. And his death ended the great rebellion. Isn't that amazing that one man's death can solve a problem? A national problem? One person doing wrong has great potential for much damage. All that we would do right. Bringing it to today, one Christian with a bad attitude can affect many and cause much sorrow. Hebrews 12:15. Oh, Christian, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. One person of bitterness defiles many. No, we are not exempt. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, that's not me. If David can fall in adultery and murder, if Ahithophel can turn to bitterness against David such that he killed himself, and Peter, who walked with Jesus, can deny him three times, folks, it's not beyond us to stumble and fall greatly. Let us heed the lessons God's put before us.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.